word to word meaning.
Vinirdhutam, being specifically cleansed. Ashesha, unlimited. Manaha malaha, mental speculation or the dirt accumulated in the mind. Puman, the person. Asanga, being disgusted. Vijnana, scientifically. Vishesha, particularly. Viryavan, being strengthened in bhakti yoga. Yad, whose. Hungry, lotus feet. Mule, at the root of. Kritaketanaha, taken shelter. Punaha, again. Na, never. Samshritim, material existence. Kleshvaham, full of miserable conditions. Prapadyate, takes to. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When a devotee takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation, and he manifests renunciation. This is possible only when one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga. Once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of the threefold miseries. Please repeat the translation responsibly. When a devotee takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation, and he manifests renunciation. This is possible only when one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga. Once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of the threefold miseries. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sikshastaka instructions, by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, or by the process of hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord, one's mind is gradually cleansed of all dirt. Due to our material association since time immemorial, we have accumulated heaps of dirty things in our minds. The total effect of this takes place when a living entity identifies himself with his body and is thus entrapped by the stringent laws of material nature and put into the cycle of repeated birth and death under the false impression of bodily identification. When one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga, his mind is cleansed of this misunderstanding and is no longer interested in material existence or in sense gratification. Bhakti or devotional service is characterized by vairagya and jnana. Jnana refers to the understanding that one is not his body, and vairagya means disinterest in sense gratification. These two primary principles of separation from material bondage can be realized on the strength of bhakti yoga. Thus, when a devotee is fixed in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he will never come back to this material existence after quitting his body, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord, Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sarjana. In this verse, the word vijnana is specifically important. Jnana, the knowledge of spiritual identity that one attains when he does not consider himself to the body, is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Brahma Bhuta, the revival of spiritual realization. In the conditioned state of material existence, one cannot be spiritually realized because he identifies himself materially. The understanding of the distinction between material existence and spiritual existence is called Jnana. After coming to the platform of Jnana or the Brahma Bhuta state, one ultimately comes to devotional service in which he completely understands his own position and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is explained here as vijnana vishesha. The Lord says, therefore, that knowledge of Him is vijnana, science. In other words, when one is strengthened by scientific knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His position of liberation is guaranteed. In Bhagavad Gita 9.2, the science of devotional service is described as pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, direct understanding of the principles of religion by realization. By practicing bhakti yoga, one can directly perceive his advancement in spiritual life. In other practices like karma yoga, jnana yoga and dhyana yoga, one may not be confident about his progress, but in bhakti yoga, one can become directly aware of his progress in spiritual life, just as a person who eats can understand that his hunger is satisfied. Our false appetite for enjoyment and lordship of the material world is due to a prominence of passion and ignorance. By bhakti yoga, these two qualities are diminished and one becomes situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually surpassing the mode of goodness, one is situated in pure goodness, which is not contaminated by the material qualities. When thus situated, a devotee no longer has any doubts. He knows that he will not come back to this material world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshirun Miltam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshtarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktavani Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So the purport is very long, and also I have to speak on book distribution since marathon is very near. So I will be touching on some important aspects of the purport as I see them important, and also later on book distribution. So here we are on canto number 4, chapter 21, text 32. So this chapter is entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. So what is happening is, we all know that Prithu Maharaj, he is performing a big sacrifice and he has invited all the citizens to attend the sacrifice. Right, this is a scene going on, this is a setting. And in the sacrifice, in the middle of the sacrifice, or rather before beginning the sacrifice, Maharaj Prithu, he is instructing all the citizens. All his citizens. Very important instructions for everybody. Right? Actually, we are also in a similar situation, because we are also in the middle of a sacrifice. We are also performing Sankirtan Yajna. Here also Yajna is going on. And in the middle of the yajna, before the yajna, in the middle of the yajna, after the yajna, whatever, Srila Prabhupada, he is our leader. Right? He is actually performing this sacrifice and we are all assisting him in this sacrifice, Sankirtan Yajna. And Prabhupada has given us instructions to be followed. So it's a similar situation, I would say, just like the Bhagavatam is going on right now. And every leader must actually instruct whomsoever he is preaching to or he is responsible for. It is the duty of the leader to instruct according to the Shastra. And it is the duty of leaders at every level, not only that somebody who has got a post is only responsible for instructing, but at every level, whoever has some people responsible under him, whoever has some people who are listening to him, has this duty to instruct his people in the matters of pure devotional service. And every devotee, right, must follow, right, along with being a leader, every devotee must follow also these instructions so that they can instruct. Otherwise they cannot instruct. So this is a scene going on. Right? Shishi Gornitai ki jaya, Shishi Radha Raspere ki jaya, Shishi Sitaram Lashanman ki jaya. So Prithu Maharaj is instructing very, very sequentially, one by one, step by step. The first instruction he is giving his citizens is, he describes about the system of Varnashrama. We have been seeing in these verses. He describes about Varnashrama system. Very systematically he is describing. So after describing about Varnashrama, what is Varnashrama? Doing one's prescribed duties. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And he describes the consciousness in which Varnashrama, the prescribed duties have to be performed. What is the consciousness? With a detached mood and dutifully. That means one must think that this is my duty as the part and parcel of the Lord. It is my duty to perform this prescribed duty. So similarly, right, the same consciousness can be there in our devotional service also. That how to perform devotional service with a detached mood and thinking that this is my duty to perform devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. So with detachment and dutifully one has to perform. Detached, dutiful work. So Prithu Maharaj is starting with this. And then he describes in the earlier verses that how it is not that prescribed duties are there, but the prescriber is not there. Right? Some philosophies, they are there that, okay, system is there, but it is all by chance. But he says, no, there is a prescriber of these duties. Who has prescribed these duties? Chaturvarnya Maya Sristam. And not only there is a prescriber, there is an awarder of the results of these duties. Right, so, who is the awarder? Right, Prithu Maharaj is saying, God is the awarder, He is the ultimate controller. And if there is God who is prescribing these duties and He is awarding the results, then what is to be done about Him? What is our duty towards Him? That is being described by Prithu Maharaj. He says that one has to worship the lotus feet of the Lord. This is our duty towards the Lord. So in these three verses, actually 31st, 32nd and 33rd, Maharaj Prithu is specifically speaking about worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. These three verses. In the last verse, right, he started by how to worship and what is the benefits of worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. In the last verse he spoke. So what did he say? That Gokuleshwar Prabhu spoke about this yesterday. That by the benefit, the first benefit of worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord is that one becomes purified of all contamination. Purification takes place. The example given is that of a person who takes bath daily in the Ganges river, holy river Ganges. So by being in touch with Ganges rivers, what is the effect? Purification occurs. Whatever be with the external state of the Ganges. So similarly, by coming in touch with the lotus feet of the Lord, one becomes, right, purified. That is the first thing which takes place. And now the second thing which is being described here, the second benefit of coming in touch with the Lord, Lord's lotus feet. In fact, here, right, it is being given that once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet, not even the lotus feet, it is given root of the lotus feet. So the root of the lotus feet means a position where the lotus feet is starting from. Right? It is a foundation, just like the root is the foundation of the tree. Right? The tree is standing on the, because of the root. So we are advised here that not only you have to take the shelter of the lotus feet, but the root of the lotus feet. So what is the meaning of this? In one sense, we can understand that the Lord is pleased when one takes the lowest position. The lotus feet is the lowest position, right? Therefore, even while taking darshan, second canto, right, Srila Prabhupada describes that how to take darshan also. One has to begin with the lotus feet of the Lord. So your root of the lotus feet means you go even more, right, lower, right, at the lowest position one has to go. And by going to the lowest position indicates humility. And the Lord is pleased with such humility, right, which is required to go back home, back to Godhead. Right. So, So here the instruction is being given that the benefit of taking shelter of the root of the lotus feet of the Lord is not only purification, but what? The benefit is that one goes back home, back to Godhead. Where it is given, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of the threefold miseries. Right? This is the greatest benefit. In fact, this going back home, back to Godhead, it is described in our lectures, ISKCON lectures or Gaudiya Vaishnava lectures, thousands and thousands of times. Right? Almost every lecture, it ends with what? With saying that, so if we all follow this, then we'll go back home, back to Godhead. Isn't it? Right? So, this is a central thing actually, the central theme. One of the most important promises, one of the most important incentives, why all of us are here today. Right? One of the biggest motivation for us to stay on. In fact, in the beginning, it is the only motivation, right? In most cases, I would say, right? Most of the cases, it is the only motivation why a person joins maybe the temple full time, or when a person takes to Krishna consciousness full time. Why? Because he thinks, oh, Krishna has promised that yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. Right, he has promised that if I perform devotional service, not only I will not go to hell, but I will somehow or other go to Vaikuntha, I will go to the spiritual world, I will go to Goloka. Oh, this promise is there. Krishna is making this promise. So this promise is so important to us. Right, very, very central thing actually. And in fact, this is the motivation to stay on continuously, day after day, month after month, year after year in Krishna consciousness. It remains, this motivation remains forever, and it should remain forever. Right? If it doesn't remain, then there is a problem. So, we are going on with our Krishna consciousness, and day after day there are different realizations. There are different things which make us tick to Krishna consciousness. There are different things because of which we are going on. So we may be casual in our Krishna consciousness in the present moment. That is why every time we have to Nityam Bhagavat Seva. Every time we have to keep hearing, we have to keep chanting, we have to keep taking on motivation from so many places, so many devotees. We have to keep doing that. Because we become casual. So one of the things which we can remember is that at the time of leaving the body, at the time of death, there will be two categories of devotees. Two categories. One category is those devotees who, even after knowing very nicely the philosophy, that at the time of that antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nasya sunyo, even after knowing that consciousness at the time of death should be very, very pure, should be completely Krishna conscious. One should be completely attached to Krishna. One should be holding on to Krishna at the time of death, not to anything else. So even after knowing this, this devotee is sure that he is not going back home, back to Godhead. He is sure. And the other category, Prabhupada mentions in the last, in the purport, when thus situated, a devotee no longer has any doubts. This is the second category. He knows that he will not come back to this material world. So these are the two categories of devotees. We might be casual now, but at that time we cannot be casual. We won't be casual. We will be in terrible anxiety if we are sure that we are not going back home, back to God. No other thoughts will come at that time. Only terrible anxiety will be there. And a devotee will remember all the wrongs he has done, all the rules he has broken, all the politics he has done, all the prajalpa he has done, all the time which he has wasted. Everything will, right, will be there at that time. Oh my God, when I could become serious in Krishna consciousness, when I could become 100% surrender to the Lord, I have not become. And now I am in this moment wherein I have to be 100% Krishna conscious, but I am not. And therefore I have to take birth again. He'll be in terrible anxiety. So we have to choose which category we belong to or we want to belong to at the time of death. Very important thing. And we have to choose now. We cannot choose at the time of death. We have to choose now and then work on it. Right? Unless we work on it, we'll belong to the other category. We'll be sure that we are not going back home back to God. But when a devotee is sure that he is going back home, there is no anxiety. He's a jubilant devotee. Very happy devotee. Saying, wow, right, I've made it. Somehow or other, by the mercy of the Lord, by the mercy of the spiritual master. Right, I am successful in my endeavors. So there is great joy at the time of leaving for a devotee who is sure of making it back home back to God. So that choice has to be made now. Very important choice. Srila Prabhupada mentions also in the purport about the word vijnana. He says in this verse the word vijnana is specifically important. Jnana, the knowledge of spiritual identity that one attains when he does not consider himself to the body, is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Brahma Bhuta. So the word vijnana, and also Prabhupada speaks about how jnana and vairagya, they both come from bhakti. And in our process, we know in the process of bhakti yoga, Vasudevi Bhagavati, bhakti yoga prayojitaha, janayati ashu vairagyam jnanam chayat ahetukam. We know that bhakti and vairagya, jnana and vairagya automatically come from bhakti, by performing bhakti. And all our acharyas also, right, they are, because of performing unalloyed bhakti, they were the topmost performers or the topmost holders of jnana and of vairagya. They were examples of having completely mastered all the scriptures and of setting an example in renunciation, all our acharyas. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there is a small incident in this regard, that how he was unlimitedly expert, so much expert in all the scriptures, not some particular scripture. He was completely expert in all the scriptures and of every subject under the sun. So once there was a impersonalist Vedanta society in Calcutta. They extended an invitation. They gave an invitation to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was always waiting for invitations and for debates. He used to, when he was walking on the road, he would catch a Mayavadi physically. And then while speaking to him verbally, he would shake him. He would shake him physically and then shake him verbally. And they would be terrified with fear. Just by hearing and by shook by him. And they would run away, wherever he would come from. So once this impersonalist society, Vedanta society, they called him. Right, I don't know whether there was a phone that time or they called him by some message. But they called him and then they said that, there is this debate and please come and we are inviting you. But you cannot speak, you cannot take any scriptural evidence from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is not allowed. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, fine, I will come. After some time, there was another call. The same people called again and said, look, you cannot speak also from the Mahabharata, Ramayana and such evidences. You cannot speak from them also. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, fine, no problem, I will come. After some time they called again and said, look, you cannot speak from the Vedas. You cannot speak from the Upanishads. You cannot speak from any Smriti text also. Bhakti Siddhanta Sadhguru said, you have to speak only from the Vedanta Sutras. Bhakti Siddhanta Sadhguru said, fine, I will come. And then after some time they called back again and said, you cannot come. So, very, very interesting incident actually. So we can see that how Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was so well versed with the scriptures, he knew the conclusions and everything so nicely that he was ready to argue from any point of view, actually. So Vijnana, Prabhupada mentions here that Vijnana refers to, Jnana refers to knowing the difference between material existence and spiritual existence. And Vijnana especially refers to knowing the soul's position, one's own position, and also knowing scientifically the position of the Lord, or knowing the position, knowing, having scientific knowledge about the Supreme Lord. So what does this scientific knowledge mean? This scientific knowledge means when one comes to the position of knowing the position of the Lord, it means knowing about the Lord's opulences, Shad Aishwarya Purna, all the six opulences, unlimited opulences of the Lord, of course, but specifically these six opulences, and also Naam Gun Roop Leela. So knowing all the aspects of Naam Gun Roop Leela, so one comes, when one comes to the position of Vijnana, then one has scientific knowledge about the Lord, and that knowledge means knowing the Lord's opulences, and especially knowing Krishna, and knowing the opulences and features of the two-handed form of the Lord, not any other form. Like that. Srila Prabhupada also speaks about one more thing. He says, by practicing bhakti yoga, one can directly perceive his advancement in spiritual life. In other practices like karma yoga, jnana yoga and dhyana yoga, one may not be confident about his progress. But in bhakti yoga, one can become directly aware of his progress. So, all other processes are there, karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, and bhakti yoga. Specifically, these are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. But in many places, actually, Srila Prabhupada writes that all other processes like karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, they are dependent upon bhakti yoga for their results. Whereas bhakti yoga is independent of all these other processes. So, there are many verses which give this conclusion actually in the Bhagavad Gita. Shivaram Swami, in one of his books, The Bhaktivinoda Purports, he explains very nicely about these different points. He says that many verses are there. One verse which can be taken is 11.54. Bhaktyatvi Ananya Sakhya. So, Bhaktyatvi Ananya Sakhya, that we all know this verse, Bhaktyatvi Ananya Sakhya. How by only undivided devotional service, Lord Krishna is saying, can I be known as I am standing before you? Right? One can understand, one can enter into the mysteries of this understanding only by bhaktya, not by jnana or by karma. So bhaktya tve ananya sakya. So that word tve, which means tu actually, so Srila Prabhupada mentions that this tu means but. This tu, the Sanskrit word tu means but. So what does this word mean? But means that only by bhakti yoga, not by anything else, not by anything else, not by karma yoga, not by jnana yoga, not by astanga yoga, can we realize the Lord as He is, or can we come to the scientific understanding, scientific knowledge about the Lord. So only by bhakti yoga. So the word tu means that. And also the word ananya, right, very interesting word. This word ananya comes so many times in Bhagavad Gita. Right, we have 8.14, ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nitya saha. We have 9.22, ananas chintayantamam yejana paripasate. Jai Shishi Gaur Nitaya ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Rasmanma ki jai, Shishi Radha Rasphiri ki jai. So we have many places in the Bhagavad Gita where this word ananya is mentioned. Even in right, there is one more verse, purusha sapara phartya bhaktya labhas labhyastve ananyaya. There is 12.6 which says, yetu sarvani karmani mat sanyas mat paraha ananyeva yogena. So the word ananya, right, what does it mean? It means nothing else other than pure bhakti అండ్ అనన్య చేత సతతం యోమాం స్మరతి నిత్య తస్యాహం సులభ వార్త నిత్యయుక్త సయోగ్యన. సో ద ప్రాసెస్ ఈజ్ అనన్య. వాట్ ఇస్ అనన్య మీన్స్ నథింగ్ ఎల్స్ అదర్ దెన్ ప్యూర్ భక్తి. సో వాట్ ఈస్ దీస్ అదర్ థింగ్స్? దీస్ అదర్ థింగ్స్ మీన్స్ కర్మయోగ, జ్ఞానయోగ, భక్తి యోగ. ఐఎమ్ సే కర్మయోగ, జ్ఞానయోగ, అష్టంగ యోగ. సో ద వర్డ్ తు అండ్ వర్డ్ అనన్య, దీస్ టు సిగ్నిఫై దట్ ఓన్లీ బై భక్తి యోగ అండ్ నాట్ బై ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ కృష్ణ కెన్ బి నోన్ యాజ్ హీఈస్. అండ్ వీ ఆల్సో సీ దట్ కర్మయోగ మీన్స్ వర్క్ అండ్ నాలెడ్జ్. కర్మయోగ మీన్స్ వర్క్ అండ్ నాలెడ్జ్, వర్క్ విత్ నాలెడ్జ్. జ్ఞానయోగ మీన్స్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ రినన్సియేషన్. అష్టంగ యోగ మీన్స్ నాలెడ్జ్, రినన్సియేషన్ అండ్ మెడిటేషన్. వెరస్ భక్తి యోగ కంటెన్స్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ కంపోనెంట్స్. భక్తి యోగ కంటెన్స్ వర్క్, వీఆర్ ఆల్ వర్కింగ్ బట్ ఫార్ కృష్ణ. నాలెడ్జ్ ఇస్ దేర్, దెన్ దెర్ ఇస్ రినన్సియేషన్ అండ్ దెర్ ఇస్ మెడిటేషన్, వీఆర్ ఆల్ చాంటింగ్ హరే కృష్ణ. So all the components which are there in Karma Yoga, in Jnana Yoga and in Ashtanga Yoga, all components are there in Bhakti Yoga. Everything is there. So therefore, we see that Bhakti Yoga does not require Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. It is independent of all processes. Whereas the other processes are dependent on Bhakti. Right? So this is one conclusion which we can try to understand. I'll speak a little bit on book distribution now. So there was a good seminar, actually book distribution seminar, which was held by Navin Neerad Prabhu some time back for the leaders, ISKCON Leads program. Very nice program, and I was specifically thinking that Navin Neerad Prabhu should have given time for everybody, and all devotees could have benefited. So I would like to bring some of the points, important points which he mentioned in the seminar for the benefit of all devotees. So one important point he mentioned about book distribution is about the seven purposes of ISKCON. Right, everybody must be knowing, right, that Srila Prabhupada, he had seven objectives for ISKCON. And ISKCON has to be following or fulfilling these seven purposes. Otherwise ISKCON becomes purposeless. So these seven purposes, there is, right, what are seven purposes? To systematically propagate Krishna consciousness, to bring the members together, to bring the members of Krishna consciousness society together, by preaching, by bringing a consciousness which is given in according to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So like that, there are seven purposes mentioned, and six purposes are mentioned about doing various things. But the seventh purpose is very important purpose. What is the seventh purpose? Srila Prabhupada mentions the seventh purpose is to achieve the aforementioned purposes. That means to achieve the other six purposes which have been listed earlier. To achieve those purposes, one has to do, the society has to do book distribution, the society has to publish books, publish all the writings and distribute books, periodicals and all other writings. So this is the seventh purpose. Or in short, the seventh purpose is book publication and book distribution. That means that without achieving this seventh purpose, all the other six purposes will not be achieved. That is what Srila Prabhupada is saying. So without book publication and without book distribution, no purpose will be achieved. ISKCON will become completely purposeless if book distribution is stopped, if book publication is stopped. So much importance is being given to book distribution. Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of the, book, or video, Memories of Srila Prabhupada. There it is mentioned, Prabhupada says, the devotees might fail. But very, like, kind of a very startling statement. The devotees might fail, the temples might fail, but my books will live forever. Prabhupada mentioned, very shocked to read this statement. The devotees might fail, the temples might fail, but my books will live forever. So while doing book distribution, right, we are going to start. Some devotees have been so enthusiastic, they've already started also. Right? So nice, actually. Right. So while doing book distribution, or before doing book distribution, one important question which has to be asked is, everybody must ask, every book distributor, every devotee must ask this question to oneself. Why am I doing book distribution? Very important thing to ask oneself. What is the reason why I, not others? Right? Others, total together, there may be 1008 reasons for doing book distribution. Definitely. But what is the reason why I am doing book distribution? Because if this reason is not clear within us, if we are not conscious of the reason why we are doing book distribution, then there is a problem during book distribution. Right? So what is the problem? Because while, right, especially when we are on the table, right, when we are going on the railway stations and we are giving out the book, we may be in the railway station, we may be on the streets, we may be anywhere doing book distribution. So when we are, what do we do when we are doing book distribution? We find a person, and as soon as we find a person, then we tell him, we give our sales pitch. It is called sales pitch. Right? We have rehearsed our lines. We'll say, isme pura Bhagavad Gita hai, complete 700 verse slok hai, isme commentary hai, purport hai, translation anuvad bhi hai, dekhiye picture bhi hai, color picture hai. That is called the sales pitch. Right? We have rehearsed the lines and we have learned what to speak. But after giving that sales pitch, finish. The sales pitch is over now. Now the person looks at your eyes. Right? Navindranath Prabhu was saying, it is called the moment of truth. The moment of truth exists between you and the customer. And the customer is looking at your eyes and you are looking at the customer's eyes. And then, it is that moment which makes a difference actually. Because he has heard this sales pitch. Fine. It is not the sales pitch which is making him take that book. It is your conviction which he sees in the devotee's eyes. So if that devotee is thinking at that time that somehow or other this soul has come here and is standing in front of me, he has 20 seconds. Right? That every devotee has only 20 seconds to make this difference in the life of this person. Right, who has been away from Krishna for millions of lifetimes. The devotee has this power, he has this book of Srila Prabhupada, and he has only 20 seconds with him, in which he has to make this difference in that person's life. In 20 seconds. How's, right, and what is the difference? The difference is from millions of lifetimes of bondage, right, this person will turn to Krishna. And that depends on your conviction. Why am I distributing this book to this person? Right? So there may be different reasons. But that conviction has to be there. Unless that conviction is that person will not take the book. So very important. So therefore, all of us, right, we introspect, right, and think, why am I distributing this book? Because if you don't have a proper reason, proper conviction, then that book might not go. So very important. And I was reading on Leelamrit on how the first book marathon, I don't know whether it has been described earlier, but even if it is described, I would still like to repeat it again. That how the first book marathon, how this book marathon came into existence. So in the Leelamrit it is described that Rameshwar Swami, right, he describes this in the Leelamrita that in 1972, actually, during Christmas time, it was 22nd December 1972, and all the Sankirtan devotees, they were already distributing books. Every day, the topmost score would be something, of the whole temple would be something like 25-40 books per day, all combined together. And they were very happy, that was like a top score at that time. This was Los Angeles temple, and Ramesh was right, he was maybe Prabhu at that time. So he describes that, so the devotees, they had gone on Sankirtan on that particular day, December 22nd, and Christmas had just began. So all the stores, Rameshwar Swami said that he was distributing books outside a supermarket kind of a thing. And the supermarket was filled with people who were just coming throughout the evening hours. So throughout the day he had distributed something like 650 pieces of literature. Right? Throughout the day he distributed. And he collected something like $350 at that time. And it was something like around 10 o'clock at night. So there was a big competition going on in Los Angeles at that time. Very feverish competition was going on. The Sankirtan fever was very high. And there were prizes which were described for all the devotees. So Rameshwar Swami, so he was thinking that, oh, 650 books and literatures, right, I have done. And this must be the ISKCON world record. He was thinking like that. He says, today I have broken all the records. Nobody would be, right, nobody in Los Angeles, nobody in the entire world in ISKCON. There were so many centers at that time. This is a world record which I have set. So it was 10 o'clock. So he was thinking that now I must go back to the temple because the devotees will be waiting and I will tell them about my score. Right? So he was thinking like that. Then, right, he took his car and he was driving back to the temple. So then he was wondering, all the devotees will be there, because generally the devotees came by 8 o'clock. Nobody stayed more than 8 o'clock at night. So he's thinking, 10 o'clock, I have broken all records. 10 o'clock, I'm going back to the temple. So then he was passing by, it was a long way to the temple. He was passing by, there was one more store, which was filled. Right? And it was going to be filled till midnight. So he was thinking whether I should stop here and distribute more books. So then he's thinking, no, let it be. Right? All the devotees must be back, and right, I'll just go and tell them about my score and this, that. So somehow he reached to the temple around 10 minutes to 12. And then when he went to the Sankirtan room, there was nobody. So he asked the Sankirtan in charge, hey, all the devotees they have gone to bed? The Sankirtan in charge said, no one has come back yet. You are the first one to come back. So he was like completely surprised. He said, what? This is normally 8 o'clock, everybody comes back today. 10 to 12 and nobody's come back. So Rameshwar Swami says, at this time we discovered the first Christmas marathon. So it is said that for 3 days afterwards, December 22nd, 23rd, that was a 3-day December marathon, 3-day Christmas marathon. So for 3 days, continuously, all the devotees, that night, all of them came back at 1:30. December 22nd night, 1:30 they came back. And they were completely ecstatic. 5,000 to 6,000 books they had done. Right, on December 22nd, 1972. They were like intoxicated by book distribution. And they were all discussing, and the temple president, right, night 1:30, he was wondering what's going on. He came out, Karandhara Prabhu, he came out and said, hey, what's going on? And then when he understood, he said, 5,000 to 6,000 books, he was also in ecstasy. But then he said, go back to bed so that he can do 2 more days. So in 3 days, they did around 17,000 books. 17,000. So first Christmas marathon, right, averaging 5,000 to 6,000 a day, which we are doing now. Our target is also 1.5 lakhs, which means 5,000 books per day. But they did it at that time. So, Rameshwar Swami, he wrote back to Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, December 22nd, 23rd, 24th, he was in Bombay. He was fighting against Mr. N at that time. So he was in Bombay, and when, so Prabhupada was in a tense situation in one sense. But when he got this news, he was so overjoyed, he was so happy. So Prabhupada immediately called his secretary and said, "Hey, write a letter to Rameshwar." He wrote a letter to Rameshwar Swami describing that if it is scarcely believable that this has happened, 17,000 books in 3 days. He says that your country therefore is taking this Krishna consciousness movement very seriously, I can see that. He said, and because of your sincerity, he said, all of your devotees' sincerity, that is why these books are going. He says, I am successful just because of this, because of the sincerity of my disciples. Because they are sincere, that is why this Krishna consciousness movement is becoming successful. Wherein others failed, but I am successful only because of the sincerity of my disciples. And he then said that those who are doing this, right, will assuredly go back home, back to Godhead. So when the devotees, they got this news, that Prabhupada is giving this promise, that those who are there, those who are continuously doing book distribution, they will go back home, back to Godhead. Right, the fever increased more and more and more. Right, and to this day, of course, the fever has increased. Right, we can see how the book distribution marathon has become the greatest event in book distribution. Srila Prabhupada, I just received a mail yesterday that Srila Prabhupada mentions in the same Memories of Srila Prabhupada by Pita Das. He mentions that those devotees who will distribute books, my books, to their dying day, those devotees who will distribute books, my books, to their dying day, I promise that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come and take them back home, back to Godhead. So we can see that how Srila Prabhupada is promising this, that who wouldn't like to cash on this promise? So we can try in this marathon, right? This is a very fantastic opportunity, not only during marathon, but especially during marathon. We can try that how we can break the earlier records, right, which have been set so many years back, and we can create new records in book distribution. I'll stop here. If anybody has one question, maybe we can ask. Siddhilal Samadhi.
From the point of going back home, back to Godhead, so one of the definitions of pure devotional service is that a devotee doesn't aspire even for liberation, and liberation means we want to be free from misery. So how do you reconcile the two?
Okay. Yes. So Mataji's question is that liberation means to be free from the three miseries. And in fact, the verse also starts, I mean the translation also says a devotee never comes back to this material existence which is full of the threefold miseries. So, definitely liberation means to be free from the threefold miseries. And going back home, back to Godhead also means to be liberated. So whether a devotee is just interested in becoming free from the threefold miseries, right? So no, definitely, because pure devotional service means that a devotee does not care also about becoming free from the threefold miseries in one sense. So I would say that there are levels of pure devotional service. The highest level of pure devotional service we can see, Svarga Apavarga Narkeshu Api Tulyata Darshina. A pure devotee of the Lord, wherever he is interested in just doing service for the Lord. Doesn't matter Svarga, Apavarga or Narkeshu. Doesn't matter. But on another level, right, a devotee is interested to go back home, back to Godhead. Not only, right, to become free from the material existence, but to serve Krishna in the spiritual world. A devotee is not just interested that, oh, somehow or other I should be just free from these threefold miseries. No, he is ready to serve Krishna. The inclination is to serve Krishna. Right, once Brihatmidang Prabhu, he said, that when we go back home back to Godhead, then as soon as we go back home back to Godhead, Krishna might say, oh, welcome to the spiritual world. Right? I have a service for you. Yes, Lord, what is the service? You have to go back to this material world and do some preaching. Right? So if the devotee says, oh, I just came back from there. Right? How do you expect I'll go back? The 3-4 miseries are there, everything is not a good place. No, the devotee is ready to perform service for Krishna. So, just like the Mayavadis, they want to become free from the 3-fold miseries and become God or merge into Brahman. But the devotee does not want simply liberation. Right? The definition of liberation which is accepted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is Muktir Hitva Anyatha Rupam Swarupena Vyavasthiti. That means one will be liberated, truly liberated, when one is situated in one's constitutional position, Swarupena Vyavasthiti. Right, this is real liberation. And this is accepted, acceptable by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. I hope I have. So we'll take one last question. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You mentioned that the devotee should have strong conviction to distribute Prabhupada's books.
Yes.
And we have 20 seconds time.
That's right. Maybe even less.
To deal with people. But as per the Indian mentality and due to the influence of modern education, most people who are absorbed in material life.
Yes.
When the devotee is preaching to the people to purchase the book or Bhagavad Gita. Likewise, most of them have the mentality that Bhagavad Gita padke humko sadhu banna hai kya.
Right.
Or most of them even say that who reads Bhagavad Gita, there is always conflict in their home and they deny it. Hmm. How do we deal with that situation?
Right.
So how can we, at least for my case, I purchased Bhagavad Gita many years back, but until and unless I came in touch with my spiritual master, I never opened the book.
Yes.
Only
yes.
When I came in contact with my spiritual master, I started reading it and I started knowing the truth.
Yes. That so book led you to your spiritual master.
No.
Yes.
After, maybe.
Yeah. So when one gets a book in his hand, Prabhupada said that even if he touches the book, immediately becomes fortunate. Immediately. It's not that one has to read the book in order to become fortunate. Fortune, what is fortune? Fortune means one's Krishna consciousness begins. Agyat Sukruti. Gyat or Agyat. It begins. One's Krishna, one becomes fortunate. One's journey begins. So now the more he touches, the more he becomes fortunate. That is why while distributing a book, immediately, right, we have to give the book in his hands. Immediately, you first touch. So as soon as he touches, right, he becomes fortunate. And then there are different ways and means. We have to break our head. That is part of devotional service. We have to break our head to see and judge that person who's there in front of us for 20 seconds. That is the skill of the devotee. And that skill comes from praying to the Lord also. It's not that I am a very skillful book distributor, somehow or other I am going to sell this book. That doesn't work. Right? Submissive mood. Oh my Lord, I want to give this book to this person, somehow or other. Right? Please let him take it. So if one has this mood, prayerful mood, and one depends on the Lord, and at the same time, one learns the art of book distribution. Both things are there. So the consciousness, one learns the skills required. And at the same time, one understands that if the Lord wishes, then this person will take a book. So that prayerful mood has to be there. And then one should just, use different ways and means to give the book. And regarding, so many people they say also, yes, if this picture is there in our home, people say that conflicts will be there. But we say conflict resolution will be there. not conflict. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanudhara, Tatra Sri Vijaya Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Matirma. So you can, if somebody says like that, you can show that verse. Right? Sanjay is saying, the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, wherever there is Krishna, and wherever there is Arjuna, wherever there is this picture, where what there will be? There will be Shri, opulence, Vijaya, victory. This is given in Bhagavad Gita. Now should they listen to some Tom, Dick and Harry, or they should listen to Bhagavad Gita? You can show the authority is there in Bhagavad Gita. You can listen to some non-entity, or you can listen to Vyasadev. You can listen to Sanjaya. You can say like that.
At least in my case, I have come across many people who discouraged me from going through the book or reading the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
But I did not take care. Once I got interest, it was I started learning the truth.
Yeah, yeah. So that is the power of Srila Prabhupada's books. Even after discouragement from so many quarters, Prabhupada's book, right, always works. Right? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.